yet another episode of Cosmos with Cosmos, High in the Sky Edition. I am Brandon.
I'm Liz.
And I'm Mike.
And this...
We should have gotten a clapper. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, we got the clapper. Anyway, it's High in the Sky for May coming up here. I had my weird NPR, late Sunday voice on, but that's fine. I guess we should get into it. Mike, what are you drinking?
I just put it down. All right, I'll do this one right here. All right, so I'm calling mine Black Hole Number 3. And when I came up with that name, I heard Blur in my head. Song 6. Woohoo! Oh.
The whole time. I was thinking Mambo Number 5.
Interesting connection.
I was, why would I do Mambo Number 5?
I don't know. Just in my head.
Mambo Number 5. But I heard Blur. Black Hole Number 3, which is, I guess we'll find out what that is in the news section.
So I guess we will.
Oh, this just has cinnamon whiskey and cranberry because I was lazy.
Oh, you know.
That's one of those days. I gotcha.
That's fine. So, that's fine. Cheers. That's fine.
Prost.
Prost.
Liz, what you got?
I am drinking the Puts Hair in Your Chest.
Oh, okay.
To go with a little hairy theme.
So let us know how that goes.
Upcoming. But this is basically just an old fashioned, but with peach syrup. So it's a peach
peach syrup. That's
I wanted
nice.
To try the peach syrup. I haven't actually tried it yet, so let's see. Pinky's
you
out.
Have... There's just ace there's of hair everywhere.
Well, because there's hair in your chest now, so it used to just be like
yeah,
hair.
Yeah, so there's hair. It fits perfectly.
And the verdict is going to be...
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Ooh.
Nice, you get a little hint of peach, but you got the bourbon in there, and you got a little orange.
I said I liked it. It's pretty good. Yeah. And you're like, yeah. Like you had some.
Oh,
but you had
no,
hair.
I hadn't had it.
Can't believe anything you say now.
Okay. Brandon, what are you drinking?
Sup? I'm drinking the Obsidian Lava Lake.
Ooh, that sounds fun. That's fun.
Which should be a much better drink than
Sonic.
I made.
Right.
We'll get into that in the new section as well. But it's freshly squeezed orange juice, bit of cranberry juice, and vodka and gin. So, it's kind of a lazy day.
Oh, Blur, was it Blur Song 2? No, it was Song 6, right? Or is it song 2?
Might be song 2.
Song
I don't,
2.
I don't know.
All right, well, anyway, whatever it is.
Anyway.
Whatever it was.
That's whatever we were woohooing about.
That's, woohoo is the name of it.
Well, you know how you can woohoo is if you follow us on Twitter. We haven't started the game yet. At Drinking Cosmos, and of course, Instagram at Cosmos with Cosmos. If you do your ratings, rate us on iTunes because that way we can get to some people and they could also learn how to measure things via Skittles. Yeah. And if you're with us on the YouTubes, don't forget to hang out with us after the episode in the hangover that's not called the Hangouts.
Yes. Very good. Very good.
And longtime listeners will know, if you have Etsy, check out Wild Ixia. She's got some really cool stuff out there. Ron, Mr. RonProctorShow.com. And if you find yourself in the Council Bluffs area in Iowa, check out RollingBluffsPlanetarium.com. Friend of the show, Jack's out there doing some science and shit.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Jack in a while.
He's doing stuff.
Hasn't shown up.
Jack's. Yeah. Well, last time I forget he was doing something. He's a busy man. He's all over the place. Yeah. He does a lot of things. He's very involved with his local community too, which is fantastic.
And it's looking like it's Blur Song 2. Yeah, Federico in here. Like Elizabeth good. Doing it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
His Song 2.
Mm-hmm.
I've been Song 6.
He's been song checked.
I have, it's been a long time since I've heard.
It's all just a blur.
Well done. All right.
I gotcha. And we did just release a new episode of The Shot talking about how astronomy sunk the Titanic, so check that series out as well.
More to come as well.
I'm still shocked you did not come up with that.
I can't believe I didn't come up with
so
the Titanic
happy.
Topic.
I was so happy I sniped that one from you. Oh, I thought for sure she was going to get it. Because Liz is like the biggest Titanic fan, literally of all time.
Yeah,
all
right. I know my...
Literally. All right, so now we can begin the rule starting now. So if we hear a puppy bark, take a drink. If we make a Star Wars or Lord of the Rings reference, take a drink as well. All right, so now we're actually going to get into the episode. High in the Sky, talking about what's going up on the sky this next month in May. And as always, we like to highlight one constellation and talk a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's a constellation that whenever I threw it up in the planetarium, and I would say, look at that. neat, except that for some reason, and then I would move on.
I would talk about it. I would talk because it was fascinating to me that it was a constellation.
Why don't we tell everybody what constellation is?
It's unbelievable that this is a constellation.
And that constellation is Cobra Benisa. You're looking at me like I said it wrong.
Oh, well, I don't know how you really pronounce it. I say Coma Berenice, but Berenice. I guess it could be Bernice.
I said Berenice.
Federico will let us know.
That's true.
Yeah.
So this constellation, it was actually named after Queen Berenice II of Egypt, if you're curious. She was alive from 266 to 221 BCE.
Hey.
And she married her half-cousin, tends to happen,
yeah.
And became the third ruler of the Ptolemaic Kingdom.
Wait a minute. Did you say Egypt or West Virginia?
West Virginia.
West Virginia.
We married a cousin.
Oh.
But to be fair, it was her half-cousin.
I feel like that's just common practice in the ancient world. I mean, look at all of the English royal line.
It's a wonder we don't all have cone heads.
Okay. I came out with a cone head, though, actually.
Well, but that's different. But,
yeah. You get a helmet on you for a little bit. So what is half-cousin, by the way? How do you be a half-cousin?
Well...
Stepdad? I don't know.
You have some... Yeah, there's like, there was a divorce, and then you have your aunt marries somebody. I don't know.
Anyway.
Anyway,
so she married a half-cousin.
She married a half-cousin, queen of West Virginia, continued. Mm-hmm.
But she became the queen of Egypt through this marriage. Now, during this time frame, we had a series of wars, Assyrian wars. It was during the Hellenistic period, because it was right after Alexander the Great died and split his kingdoms up. And technically, fun fact, the Hellenistic period, as Liz knows with a history background, is defined between the time Alexander the Great died and when... Cleopatra died. So we got about 300 years of Hellenistic periods. And so during this time, we had many wars, thanks to these kingdoms and split up. And this time we had the Third Syrian War.
I'm sorry. In the chat, Elizabeth goes, moonshine, the drink of half-cousin weddings.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's fabulous.
That's great. That's great.
Also, Federico's saying we should do an episode in Latin and ancient Greek, which I would love. I couldn't say any of it.
Dude, have you seen my pronunciation on things? We can't. Then we need Federico, then you have to be a guest and you have to do all the proper, you have to use your beautiful language for
Federico did it.
Yeah.
He'll do it, yeah.
He's going to send me an email tomorrow going like, fuck no, I won't do it. But...
All right, Hellenistic period.
Third Syrian War. Mm-hmm. And the queen, Combranice, Berenice, whatever you want to say, thought, I want to be extra sure that the people I love will return from this war.
Well,
so
wait a minute. Her name is not Coma Berenice.
No, it's just Berenice.
Okay, it's just Berenice. Sorry. Okay, got you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. So what,
you guys
didn't meet.
You guys do this to me all the time, though. But
we do not. So this war was going on because she believed that her son was the rightful heir to the throne and somebody else thought it was theirs. You know, the whole usual thing.
Yeah. Tales old time.
So, of course, the war started. So she wanted to, again, ensure everyone came back safe. So as an offering to, quote, all the gods, just to make sure to get everyone satisfied,
mm-hmm.
She cut off her long hair and laid it at the altar of Aphrodite.
Ooh.
However, the very next morning, her offering was gone. It was missing. What? Disappeared.
Someone stole the hair.
A hair heist. Nice. Luckily, those long, luscious locks were found by the court astronomer that night because he found them in the sky. Would you look at that? Or he may have been wearing them. You know, the long locks of love. You know, even in 200s.
Yeah.
But regardless, Ptolemy II did return safely back from the war. Hooray. So at the end of the day, it worked, I guess.
Okay.
Also, fun fact, this queen went on to win a chariot team race in the Olympic Games of 243.
Like that was not rigged in any kind of way.
I don't know. Maybe she's got some sweet chariot skills.
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
Take a drink. He did the golem.
I like to imagine... all these chariot racers, and this queen with the short pixie cut at this time, in a chariot as well, and like everyone in the arena is like looking at the competitors with like bow and arrows drawn, like, are you sure about this, guys? alas, in the year 222, Ptolemy died. Their husband died. And then Berenice was likely poisoned right after to purge the royal family.
Wow. Also a terrible all this time.
But yeah. Apparently she like started her own cult for a while there, because even a decade later she still had priestess all over the place.
Oh, okay.
And it's still a constellation.
Yes, Coma being Berenice, being the hair of Berenice. In the sky. It's a constellation that is not okay. We got constellations that are flying horses, heroes, bears, or animals, and then we have hair. All
right,
head
so,
of give me a head of hair.
Okay. I have a question for you guys. Comets. What do you call the hazy part of the comet?
The hair, hairy. It's
well, yes, you call comets hairy stars, but the hazy part is called
the coma.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, continue, Brandon.
That was a nice segue.
I heard like a slightly different, or the tale rendition that I would tell was basically she was a princess,
and there was
a war, and her husband had to go fight in the war, and so she offered her hair because she was known for her beautiful hair. So she offered it to the gods as long as her husband was returned safely to her.
Yeah, basically how it works.
Her husband was, and so hair became.
Is it a real sacrifice? Because the shit grows back.
I know. I don't know. Like, yeah, it's like, it's gonna come back.
You just gotta give it some time,
and it might even be fuller and more luscious. Yeah, you know, get rid of all that split ends.
Except my hair doesn't grow back.
We do have, if not the primary source, perhaps a secondary source, because in the year 2040 BCE ish. Callimachus wrote a poem entitled The Lock of Berenice. And not all of it survives, but I kind of plucked some of the lines from it because they were amusing to me. Mm-hmm. They include, I think this is from the perspective of the hare, which is unique.
All right, fine.
It goes, unwillingly, O queen, I was parted from your head. Unwillingly, I swear both by you and by your head. And then, why do the stars keep me here? I would fain to be the locks of the queen's lock once more, and let Orion blaze next to Aquarius.
Also, the poor hare, it doesn't want to be a constellation.
No, it wants to come back home.
It wants to be on the head of somebody.
I would just like some hair.
You would not like some hair at all.
But I'd make a mohawk.
That's true.
I'd make a mohawk.
I like that. Okay, you know, the tales pass down, so, you know. This is why I want time travel, so I can go back in time and see, what really happened. Did she shave her hair off and put it at an altar? Obviously, the hair is not a constellation, but it's
I'm willing to bet that actually happened. She was a real person, and there's poems and multiple things about this, and it's a constellation. So I'm willing to bet that actually happened.
She has had some really nice-ass hair.
Oh, can you imagine?
God.
You know, the thing with, like, the constellation artwork, in the planetarium.
It
doesn't look great.
Well, the typical like one is the Helvetius, right? The Helvetius drawings. Hevelius drawings. That's a typical one that's used. I mean,
All right, not in our planetarium.
Oh, what did we use?
We used the other one.
What's the other one?
Blue ones. I don't know what they're called. the blue ones. You listeners, y'all know. You
they
know.
Are the blue ones.
I thought it was Hevelius.
You can select Hevelius.
I don't know what the ones we use.
But we are drawing some new ones. So.
Oh, okay. But still, I mean.
Didn't know that. Big news. You hear it here first.
Right. And so the drawings are like, the artist is doing it was given the instructions of no nipples. No nipples.
No, so, Andromeda, no. Hercules, all that's gone.
Put a bra on Andromeda.
So the...
free the nipple.
A bra on Andromeda.
But the ones that we got to look at and go, hey, these are cool, you know, we're going to go with this, is all the guys have nipples.
Yes.
Which is,
free the nipples.
God, just because they don't squirt milk, apparently, and are sexy.
Wait a minute.
I don't know.
Anyway, so Liz had mentioned how the locks didn't want to be a constellation. Well, we got some good news for them, because they weren't really a constellation for a while.
Hey.
They were an unofficial constellation. What do we call those? Asterisms. You're right. So our good buddy Greek astronomy Ptolemy, not the husband Ptolemy, right? But the Greek astronomer,
there's multiple Ptolemies.
Considered Comberneses as an asterism, and it was in fact the tuft at the end of the lion's tail. So Leo has his tail, and it's considered.
Oh,
I actually like that.
I like that. Yeah. I've never heard that before. That's I've nice. Never. Oh, that's nice. That's fun. I like that.
Yeah. But the Queen of Egypt didn't sacrifice her fucking hair to be a goddamn asterism.
For nothing. This shit's
so,
gonna be its own constellation.
Fast forwarding another 1300 years, our other good buddy, Tycho Brahe, included Comberneses on the constellation map, and he is generally given credit for making it an official constellation.
Oh, Brahe, okay.
I do think that you need to actually say what is in the notes for that. He's our good buddy, but...
Not that good of a buddy.
Not that good of a buddy.
Because he's kind of an asshole.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, look at what he did to Jeb.
It's really the Jeb thing, yeah.
It's the Jeb thing. If you don't know what Jeb is, then Google Jeb. Jeb.
With a P.
Yeah, that's
Jeb
right.
Jeb something else.
Jeb. I won't. I really want it, but I won't. Jeb. Google Jeb. Also, there's a great a podcast called...
The Dollop.
And the Tycho Brahe episode on the dollop. Oh, definitely give that a listen. But yes, Jep. Google that. Also, I think we have a Brahe episode as well. So,
do we?
Yeah, we've talked about Tycho. Well, we've talked
was
about
it me?
Jep. Yeah, I think we've had a Tycho episode.
I think it's been about Tycho. I think I hosted a Tycho Brahe episode.
Yes, we can't remember our shit that we did.
Or was it... Or was it Kepler that we just talked about?
It might have been Kepler, and we brought in Kepler.
It was a Kepler episode.
But Jep has been mentioned, so you can Google Jep. And
maybe we should add Old Silver Nose to
Old Silver Nose.
I think it was a copper nose.
Either way,
Old Metal Nose. We'll add them to the list.
Okay, so in any case, where is Comberneses in the sky?
Yeah.
Well, it's tough to see. It's difficult to find. But just know it exists between Botes.
Did you say tough?
It's a wisp of a constellation.
Very nice.
Tuft. It's a tuft of a constellation.
It's tough to see. Yes, it's between Botes, the bright star Arcturus, and Leo, because of course the tuft of the tail. It only has one formally named star in diadem. So really, just know it exists. It's good to see. Go to your local planetarium. We'll point it out.
It's fun, though. It's fun. A head of hair is a constellation. It's fun. I would point it out, and I'd have a little fun with it and make the audience have a little giggle over
if
it.
If you go to your local planetarium and they don't point it out, ask for it to be pointed out.
Chances are they're not going to point it out, and we are just weird
because
when we did our shows.
It's going to freak out the presenter for a moment. It's like, these people know some shit.
I'm slowly dipping back into actually giving little tiny mini planetarium shows, and it makes me so happy.
Oh my god,
I'm so excited.
Yes. Continue the show.
All right, so in Comberneses between, Arcturus and Leo's tail, we get some deep sky objects, including M64, which is known as the Black Eye Galaxy.
Oh.
It actually looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as the Sleeping Beauty Galaxy and... the Evil Eye Galaxy.
Wait. Black Eye, Evil Eye, and Sleeping Beauty. My favorite Disney princess.
Oh.
We're going to unpack that later.
Okay, but still, you like, what's the fucking star? It's in Perseus. Algol,
yeah, the Medusa, the Eye of Medusa.
That's the demon star.
Yes, Algol. It's the Eye of Medusa because then Perseus is carrying her head in the constellation drawing.
Yeah, so we have the evil star, and then we have the evil galaxy. I don't know why it's called the evil galaxy. It looks cool as shit.
It does look cool. Yes, it does look cool. Google it. Black Eye Galaxy.
Yeah. So this galaxy is only 24 million light years from Earth. And from the images, like a lot of the pictures of galaxies look like a flat static image. But this one you can tell has like depth and movement to it. And it's really cool to see.
Nice. All right. Let's just put that in perspective, though. If you were to go out tonight and look at it, the dinosaurs are still dead. At that point, 24 million
years. Yeah, 24 million
close.
Years. Yeah.
Saturn's rings, I think, are there by now.
Right. So the dinosaurs have been dead for, 40 million years?
Sure.
Yeah, 65 minus 24.
Okay, I've only had one slice of pizza, so I'm feeling
the drink. Look, I'm on medication for my back, and it says don't drink alcohol with it, so.
But, so, I don't know if I'm going to get through the podcast and
you
the...
You only have that slice of pizza?
We'll do just a brand new episode.
We'll do peanut after. Butter and jelly after.
Well, but then on. I had the pizza.
Hey! Blockbuster! Yeah, we got you!
Wait, what?
Your cup.
Oh, got you that cup. Yeah.
The one and only Blockbuster in the entire universe in Bend, Oregon.
In the entire universe.
Yeah. Well, it's true now. It's true now. That's true. But yeah, so then I went and did rock. So that pizza's gone.
Yeah, it's true. Well, okay. We're gonna have a fun day. Just, it's Sunday.
We're gonna have some Sleeping Beauties later. See that segue? Uh-huh. All right. So one neat thing about this Sleeping Beauty galaxy is that in the 1990s, it discovered that the outer bands of gas actually rotates in the opposite direction than the inner stars.
So it went through a collision.
Yes, exactly right. So it was a galaxy collision about a billion years ago.
Ah, you nailed it. So.
And this was added.
When worlds collide, Power Man 5000. Like it's all about
galaxies. Yeah, yes. I do love the collisions, galactic collisions.
God, I love them so much. Yes. Galactic cannibalism.
So, this was added to Charles Messier's catalog in 1780, which, if you remember from class, is because he wanted to find comets, but was annoyed by all these other fuzzy things, so just started listing them down.
All right.
We should do a whole podcast on Messier.
We haven't, have we?
No, we haven't.
We did a little messy. And
it's
the
just going to be where we list his 110 things. No, where we did like, that, though.
And it's just going to be me shitting on him the whole time. For a different reason. So that brings us to the Needle Galaxy. No other names here. From our perspective, it's long and narrow like a needle.
We're looking at it edge-on, then?
Yeah, edge-on, applied directly to the forehead. Yeah. And it does sit right above the North Galactic Pole. Now, it was discovered in 1785. Any guesses by whom?
Herschel.
Steve, or Jerry the Hummingbird.
Herschel.
It was fucking Herschel.
Yeah! When he gets that excited, you know it's a Herschel.
He added it to the general catalog because he was looking for shit, unlike Messier. So, you know, point there.
Yeah. Well, Brandon only gets excited over Herschel's.
Right, but Messier was looking for shit too. Messier was looking for shit.
Yeah, but it's an NGC. It's not an M. It's
he just
NGC.
Got
right.
so tired of
finding other shit.
Exactly.
I just want comments.
So other notable objects in Comanises include the globular cluster 58,000 light years away, the Coma cluster of galaxies.
Oh, shit, that's far.
Well, this next one is 260 million light years away.
Right, No.
The cluster 58,000 light
that's
years away.
That's not that
far. Well,
no, but the center of the galaxy, which where everything is centered.
But a globular cluster is outside the galaxy.
Right. So this is you go to the center of the galaxy, mm-hmm. and then you go basically that distance and a little bit more, and you're at like it's like one of the further globular mm-hmm. clusters. That's why I'm getting excited.
Okay.
And of course, a very pretty M88 spiral galaxy with mighty spiral arms. And like M88, it just looks like a very nice number, and it feels like it should be a spiral galaxy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I feel I love that.
It. I love a good spiral.
Yeah, so there is Coma Berenices. More, I'm going to keep saying fast, but I don't know how to say it. And that's more than I knew about it when I was actually talking about it to get a paycheck.
Yeah, me too.
Which is something I'm glad my former managers don't know about.
I mean, it was never a... I'd highlight it if it was...
Yeah, if we have time.
If I have time, if I was feeling like no one was really being active in the audience, I'd be like, let's just hit him with a head of hair.
I have to confess, I've never actually pointed out.
You've never pointed out. We've all done something you haven't done.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is when because we grew. We grew from the master. Yes.
We were
young Padawans, but then we grew into our own planetarium masters. That's a Star Wars reference.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Oh, you're right, damn it.
Wow, right, I can't believe we've done something that the legendary Mike George has not done.
Oh, God.
It's amazing. That's cool. Imposter although Brandon got it for me, though.
Is real.
We're just branches.
We're branches off the Mike George planetarium tree.
No, but no, it's because I mean
because it's like dim and it's like
it's just there.
No, but like in the planetarium though, because you don't have light pollution mm-hmm. in the planetarium, mm-hmm. you can easily see it.
Yeah.
It's just that it's like
it doesn't translate to when people are leave the planetarium and are trying to look for something. Yeah. Which I always wondered after I always wondered how many people after a show like it's went out that night and tried to find some of the things that I talked about in the show. I always wondered if anybody ever did that.
As long as it came away with North Star is kind of that way. Yeah. It's the handle. Yeah. And there are some planets up. Like, so what I would always say, like, for example, it didn't matter if the audience actually remembered anything I really said. Mm-hmm. If you took the science or locations of planets to heart, as long as they walked out and felt a little bit inspired. That's mm-hmm. all I can ask for.
Right. Yes. Right. And I think that you could get a sense with the way that we gave shows.
Yeah.
That how inspired they were because they would come talk to you.
Oh, that's the best part.
I love it. Especially after a show. Yes. Oh my God, yes.
So, and I actually hate this answer now because I felt like maybe this kid might believe this, but at Gibbs Planetarium.
Oh, in South Carolina. So this is no in South longer Carolina. Open.
It's in Columbia, this South
way
Carolina.
Back in the day.
This is the first planetarium I've ever worked at.
Yes.
And so this is back in the day. Somewhere between 1991 and 1994.
Okay.
Okay, I got you.
This little kid asked me, it's a 30-foot dome. It's a plaster dome built in the 1950s because Sputnik had just gone up.
What kind of starball did it have?
It was a Minolta MS-10.
Ooh, very nice.
I still smell the smell of the slip rings. So I would have to go and clean as part of my job the slip rings where there was a metal contact which connected to these metal discs, very thin metal discs, and that would control how much voltage the planet projector got and so where it would be in the sky.
Okay.
And its brightness and the shit like that. And so I was given a show. There was two things. Well, there's a bunch of things happened at Gibbs Planetarium. One of the things was there was a lady that was breastfeeding like a four-year-old, and I was like,
oh.
Might as well. I mean, it's a good spot. Yeah. It's a good spot for it.
If that hasn't happened in every one of our shows before.
Wait, 4-year-old?
4-year-old.
Wait, I'm sorry. I missed
the 4-year-old.
I completely missed that part and was like, yeah, breastfeeding, great. A 4-year-old?
No, breastfeeding is great.
But a 4-year-old? Guys, women out there, you got to cut it off at some point.
Yeah, but I mean, Game of Thrones, you got to, you know, the whole Robin thing works.
Right.
Oh, you got to.
Anyway.
They got to learn to drink milk themselves.
This little kid asked me, how do you know all this stuff? And just
magic.
I said I'll make it up.
That is the last answer I would have suspected from you.
Somebody in the audience just started laughing. but I'm like, I'm sure this kid now is like, they just make that shit up. You know, don't listen to him. Let me get
it. No, love you that. Can't. Look, the 4-year-old, this kid's already fucked up. All right. This kid's already fucked up.
No, different kid.
It
was not the breastfed kid. Okay.
like the 4-year-old takes a moment. Wait a minute. I'm such a self. How do you know him?
Hold on.
All right, so if you want to join us more shenanigans, join us in the hangover because we got to get this episode.
Yes, you're in charge, Brandon. Get us right in.
I'm coming back in. Now that we're done with the 4-year-old sucking at the teeth of science.
I'm sorry. My mom's response to the 4-year-old breastfeeding. Ouch.
As should be.
So we're going to zip through some events for this month because I feel we're going to spend a little bit of time in the astronomy news. All right, so in this next month in May, we have a total lunar eclipse of the heart. That is on May 15th, beginning at 8:29 p.m. Oregon time, Washington time, 9:29 p.m. Utah time.
We will be awake still.
Yes. And so basically, as the moon rises, As the moon rises, it's not the bad moon, it's a good moon. You will see every sunrise and sunset on the face of the moon.
Nice reference there. Nice reference.
Likewise, on May 18th, you'll see Mars and Neptune have a close encounter less than 1 degree away from each other. Now, you'll see Mars. You won't see Neptune.
No, you unless need you binoculars. Have a small telescope. You need binoculars, I think, will do
binoculars, yeah. Small telescope, binoculars. Yeah. And a little blue fuzz way up in the distance.
I would just like to, just real fast, point out Elizabeth, her next drink is a White Russian, which is Brandon, one of Brandon's favorites.
I do love a White Russian. And I also love how she misspelled it the first, the Q White Russian, yes, with the misspell. But, you know, Q Russian, it makes sense. Anyway, on May 23rd, we're going to have the Flower Moon. And it's just a full moon around springtime.
Flowers bloom?
Yeah. Other names for this moon include the Planting Moon, the Budding Moon, because we just had 420, and the Shedding Pony Moon.
Okay. Red Russian. No one said Red Russian. Did someone say Red Russian?
Wait a minute. If I could put on my 1980s propaganda glasses, I'm all Russians red. Anyway, so on May 31st, we're going to have a Saturn and Moon conjunction.
Ooh, okay.
And they'll be less than 1 degree away from each other, so that'd be really fun to see.
What, do you know what phase of the moon is going to be in for that?
Waning crescent, I believe. Because we just had a full moon the 23rd.
So that's good, then.
However, it's in the morning at like 4:30 a.m. Your time, so let the dogs out early.
Your time being Pacific time.
Your time being
Pacific time. Our time being Pacific time.
Right. What's Pacific time? Anyway. So it's early in the morning, but I love it when Saturn gets really close to the moon. It just looks great in pictures. All right, so now we're going to astronomy news.
Woo!
This is a cool one. I'm going to take a little drink before we get into this.
It's astronomy news.
No, no.
Sorry, no, wait, let me do it right.
1930s.
I'm going to leave it in, and Liz will pick it up. Beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep. Hello, folks. We now have your astronomy news section for this episode of Cosmos the Cosmos. Astronomy news.
Excellent. All right, so we got some news from the most volcanic thing in the solar system, Io.
Io! I think Io might be my favorite moon because it's so volcanically active. I mean, volcanoes are awesome. So,
yeah.
I would love to die.
They're nature's diarrhea.
If I had a choice of death, it would be volcano death.
Sorry. So, if you were to ask, like, people that came to the planetarium, what their favorite object was. Would you ever get Io?
Probably not.
No, amount of time.
All right. Yeah. Not including Earth.
No regular human it is thinking about Saturn, Io.
It was always Saturn,
right?
It was always Saturn. Io was fun.
Favorite planet?
Saturn.
No, just anything.
A lot of people would say Earth, actually.
Right, but not including Earth.
Well, kind of, because I noticed not a lot of people recognize Earth being an object in space. We just take it for granted it exists.
Right, right. So, but the key word here is not including Earth. So to avoid people saying Earth.
I don't think I ever gave that qualifier.
I never asked, yeah.
Oh, you guys never asked?
I asked favorite planets, for example. Yeah, those.
But I never did a qualifier. You can't say Earth.
Oh, okay.
I never did that qualifier. Fair. So a lot of Earths were given.
Right. I think I included it because
I never let the audience talk.
Because because so many people are like, I like Earth because I live here.
Yeah.
But,
that was generally why people said Earth.
I think most people say Saturn.
Saturn's a classic
because
one.
Of the rings.
But moons, I think. Look, our moon's great. It's got cool stuff. It's kind of boring, but it's kind of cool stuff.
It's good. Yeah,
but Io is the most volcanically active object in the entire fucking solar system, and it's right now there could be something erupting on Io.
There are roughly 80 active volcanoes on Io at any given moment erupting.
Which brings us to the news. So, Juno had the flyby of Io last December and February of this year. Now, flyby, it got close. It got within 930 miles of the surface.
Oh, that's
which
fucking
is super,
close.
Super fucking close. That's like, what, me and, what, Oklahoma?
Yeah, about that's close. By the way.
Oh, shit, I never thought of it that
Federico
way.
Says that Io in Italian means me. Io.
Oh. Oh. Now, okay, Federico, I've always wanted to know, is it pronounced Io or is it pronounced Eo?
Oh, okay, so you can put the letter E-O for that.
So, yeah. So it's pronounced Io.
I've only heard Io.
That's all so I've ever heard.
But in some old books, it specified in parentheses.
He says Io! It's Io!
Welcome to the rest of your life.
Have been wrong this entire time? Or is it Ao?
Ao. He said Ao. E-I-E-I-O. Magnificent. Okay, so just a couple days ago, on April 16th, the team released its findings of this close flyby with this fucking awesome quote. Quote, "We also got some great close-ups and other data on a 200-kilometer-long, 127-mile-long lava lake called Loki Patera. There is amazing detail showing these crazy islands embedded in the middle of a potentially magma lake rimmed with hot lava. The spectacular reflection of our instruments recorded of the lake suggests parts of Io's surface are as smooth as glass, reminiscent of volcanically created obsidian glass on Earth." So, lakes of frozen fucking lava on the moon of Io. Hell yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean, all right.
I buy a timeshare there.
Oh, I know. Fuck yeah. Right? I mean, that is very poetic for one thing.
Oh my but god, also, it's gorgeous. Of obsidian? So, are they black?
Like dragon glass.
Whoa.
It just feels like NASA understates things.
And this is just this is what the principle.
This is very poetic and it's very beautiful.
Right.
But there's also a certain, like, understatement to this.
But keep in mind, this wasn't the NASA release. This was the principal investigator just off the cup talking about it. Mm. And that's what he says. That's what he comes up with.
God. I mean, it sounds amazing. Beautiful. That's really cool. This is the importance of space exploration, people. This is the importance of sending spacecrafts to the planet.
All right.
So
with that, take a drink because this next part's going to be difficult to get through.
Is it the budget? Oh, no.
It's the budget woes. Oh, all right. God.
Take all my money, NASA.
Well, here's the thing. They need some more of it.
Take all my taxes.
They have requested money every single year. We can talk about how budgets get made. I would love to do that episode, actually. Let's do that later, how budgets get made with NASA. Yeah,
I'm sure we'll get lots of people excited about that.
Oh, no. I would make it entertaining somehow. So the NASA budget, unfortunately, is coming in at $2 billion under requested sums. $2 billion.
Billion? That's nothing.
Under
not 2 billion total. So they're getting about $25 billion.
Okay.
And they requested $27 to make sure all the funding science is getting going.
Is $2 billion short?
$2 billion short. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But so I mean, $2 billion short. But one Mars rover costs $2.5 billion.
Over 10 years.
Oh, well, okay.
So this is a single go, $2 billion being cut. So like Perseverance and Curiosity, yes, they did cost $2 billion.
Over 10, 12 years. $200 million a year. That's a lot. Or maybe
how much do we spend on our overbloated military?
We need an episode on this because we're going to talk about that in a moment as well.
That would be a brand new episode.
So not only do we are $2 billion under budget, but we had so many continuing resolutions this last year that many of the programs have not been funded at proper levels for the last 8 months. So for example, JPL has lost 530 jobs. And these aren't like, you know, these aren't like regular jobs. These are the smartest fucking people in the world.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Cut. Look, okay, look, all right, look. Warner Brothers has cut Rooster Teeth, which is a bunch of jobs from streaming people that I love that are losing their jobs and shit. But these are not jobs that you want to cut from people that are fucking. Yes.
And a number of these people as well are in this country specifically to work at JPL.
Yeah. People come internationally for JPL.
So it's just an absolute kick in the gut. And when this happened, like the outpouring from social media and everyone was immense because everyone knew somebody in the space industry losing their jobs. And they all said, these are the smartest people in the fucking world. Why are we doing this? So in any case, those are continuing resolutions. This is $2 billion under budget. So that means we had to detract money from various programs, including, but not limited to, the Mars sample return. So right now, Perseverance is out picking up samples and pooping them out for something else to pick up later on. And it was deemed infeasible, which, because it's super expensive, which is fair because at how it was formed, it wasn't idealized in the best way. But Now, instead of starting the mission now, they're back to the drawing board to find significantly cheaper solutions, which is, again, fine in this case. But, yeah, that's a whole other story. The Chandra Space Telescope, originally it was canceled altogether. Originally completely canceled. But it's now just has a 40% budget cut right now. So, again, more jobs being lost. We talked about JPL. The space launch system is always under fire for various reasons. Money's being cut from there. That's a whole other episode. Yeah. So let's talk about some other figures. $900 million cut from the Science Directorate. $513 million cut from deep space exploration. $400 million cut from the large mission directorates, so flagship missions. And it's only 0.4% of the federal budget altogether. And get this, you'll love this. NASA is currently getting $4 billion less than the Space Force.
All right.
I'm sorry. This farcical Space Force has more budget than actual space science exploration.
I will say, not quite farcical, but nowhere near deserving more than NASA. And she just finished her drink off of that, folks. Hey. Damn.
You know, Brandon, seriously.
We should be able to tell where we want our taxes to go. I want 0% of my taxes going to the military. And I want all of my taxes. No, I want a good chunk of my taxes going to NASA, some to education, and then a little bit to infrastructure.
I would like
infrastructure. Or public needs or whatever. Ah!
All right, Mike, what's up?
No, I was just going to say you should... to avoid political commentary, you should advance to the next topic. Because this really pisses me off.
Dangerous.
Oh, I know. That's why I didn't make it to the last subject. Because up next, we have an update from my favorite spacecraft, Voyager 1.
Hey!
Voyager 1. All right. Yeah. So Voyager 1 is currently $15 billion.
Open it. Yes.
Hold on. Let me get it. Holding.
Ooh, look at that. Nice. Satisfying. Look at that spurt.
Did you see it?
I got it on the TV.
Oh, it's very cool.
Oh, it's right there.
So this is Cosmos coming at you with 4D technology now.
Did you feel that spray?
Wait a minute. There we go.
All right, so Voyager 1 is currently 15,124,000,000 miles away from Earth, going very fast. Now the update is that back in November of 2023, Voyager 1 sent back nonsense. A repeating pattern of code. Nonsense. Yeah. Absolute nonsense. It had a couple of drinks.
Look, it's been out in space for a while. It's going to get a little crazy.
So in this case, what it was sending back was from the Flight Data Subsystem. And what the Flight Data Subsystem does, the FDS, is that it takes information from all the science instruments and packages them and sends it neatly back to Earth.
Okay, yes.
So FDS translates science to send to Earth. Now, not understanding the FDS is an issue because if Voyager only sends back pure jibber jabber, then the team can't translate and understand what's going on with the probe. So Voyager can still take commands, but it can't really relay any information back to Earth other than nonsense.
Okay, right. So it can understand, but it's like it's had a stroke, and so it can't properly communicate back its stuff, but it understands what's coming in.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It gets it. It just can't communicate back.
Right, okay.
So what have they tried doing to fix this? Mike, what is the first rule of IT help when somebody calls and says, hey, we have issues? We say, have you tried
restarting the system?
Turn it off, turn it back on.
Plug it back in.
Exactly.
You know what? I'm going to take a drink to that. To Liz pulling a Davison.
Yeah. That should be a new rule.
That should be a new rule. No, Davisons are not a rule. Okay.
It is
a Davison rule
between you and me, Mike. It's an unofficial rule between you and me.
All right. Cool.
So they tried restarting it. They tried sending a command that is called a poke. They poked the system.
Elizabeth says the CEO of her company, his dad helped build Voyager 1.
Oh, shit.
That's cool. That's... We have
Excellent.
Yes, I have a listener and a former colleague whose dad of a CEO she works for billed for Voyager 1. That's mm-hmm. amazing.
What? I wonder what company she works for now.
Well, and, you know, it's the internet. Well, she doesn't share that.
No, she doesn't share it, but...
He helped build Voyager 1, so there's a chance that company is no longer in existence, because that was a hot second ago.
Well, no. The current company works for the dad of the CEO helped.
And, you know, we can talk about this in the hangover, but I kind of want another Voyager tattoo. So in any case...
of course you do.
I love Voyager. So they poked the system, and it sent back the commands that the poke does, and they had JPL engineers out there looking at it. And it was actually a deep space network, so the series of satellites around the globe picked out some of the code that translated the flight system's memory. And it turns out that 3% of the data has been corrupted. And that's enough to send back Dribble Jabber.
Mm. Oh, well, I mean, this is, it's not good, but it's good. Because
it's not good, but it's good, yeah.
Because this is the farthest spacecraft that we have in space. We don't know how long our technology can function properly when going into deep space.
If you had asked the engineers how long the space probe would last, they would not say 44 years.
No, definitely not. Just like the Mars rovers, you know, when it's like they were like, it'll last 3 months, but they last longer. And I know that they temper expectations, but I mean, this is basically, Voyager is an experiment.
Yeah, it is our
in space travel, essentially.
I am not going to articulate this very well.
You can do it. I believe
No, I can't. So it's 2024, right?
If we were
to launch a spacecraft to Mars right now, it would be, not even 2024 software. Mm-hmm. It would be like Windows 2015 or something. Yeah. Something like that. So Voyager wasn't even Windows.
No.
Launched in 76? Bill Gates was alive. He didn't have Windows.
Yeah, the technology. Our cell phones are more powerful than moon Apollo astronaut technologies.
By magnitudes.
I mean, the fact that Voyager, both Voyagers are still functioning amazing, even if they're getting a little bit space crazy.
So when they send software updates to it and that type of thing?
Nope. They don't send software updates. But yes, continue.
But you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Our instructions. Right?
Yeah.
They do send instructions.
Perfect.
It's from the 1970s.
And that brings me to another point, which I love. When NASA JPL had this issue, the people currently on the mission, there's about 15 people, 15 of 30, I think it's 15 people, managing the Voyager. They actually called in people to help build the system. They're like 85, 90 years old, to say, hey, you guys helped build this. We don't remember. Can you help us out? And they actually had these guys come in and help out the team.
That's amazing. That's cool. Really cool. Although it's also interesting that we don't have just this knowledge. It's like with the Saturn V, the knowledge to build a rocket is lost because NASA...
Right, and we have everything, written down, things like that, but it's different. It's the institutional knowledge, for lack of a better word.
Right. It's like Homeric poems. It's passed down. It's oral traditions passed down through generations.
Man, Liz, that was fabulous. I'm taking a drink to that.
Expecting.
Thank you.
I think we had to take a drink to that. That was good. Mm. I probably had 2 minutes.
It's like Homeric. Oh, I love that. So that's actually now being included in my lexicon here on out.
Okay.
All right, we're going to continue on the way because we're getting a little long in the tooth here.
We get in the weeds. We like to get in the weeds.
Long in the tooth, like rabbits.
Long in the tooth. And don't forget, we do have the Hangover coming up, which we will unpack why Sleeping Beauty is Liz's favorite princess. But I do want to talk about the last bit of news we have written down, which is the largest black hole in the Milky Way galaxy has been discovered.
Woohoo!
Non-supermassive category.
Woohoo! Wait. It's the largest black hole in the Milky Way, and it's not, well, supermassive black holes are typically in the center of galaxies.
In parentheses, I have non-supermassive category.
Federico in the chat, for you podcast listeners who aren't watching this live, says, gosh, firmware programming in 70s is so out of the way of programming, just like someone speaking ancient Egypt.
So yeah, I guess Voyager is talk like an Egyptian.
So this is all about songs that you might hear on the radio.
I mean, that's fair. By
songs is just two.
It's fair because programming language in computers has advanced, of course. Oh, and changed, right, right. And there's different ones from Java to HTML+, C++, mm-hmm. all these different JavaScript. Ones. I said Java.
No, you said Java. Java and JavaScript are different things.
It was implied that it was JavaScript and no, not Java. Because
Java is an actual language.
Okay.
Focus. No one talking about Java. No. He's in a different galaxy. All right. God damn it, take a drink.
Focus.
Sorry, I made a Star Wars reference. Okay. The largest black hole was discovered by the European Space Agency's Gaia telescope by accident.
Oh, that's fun.
You see, because Gaia studies astrometry, the position of stars, mm-hmm. when it discovered that a star 2,000 light years away, which is pretty fucking close,
which had a bit of a Jesus star. 2,000 light years away? Jesus star?
2,000.
Oh, 2,000 years ago. Jesus star.
2,000 years ago.
Sure. Yep. Cool. This makes sense. This is a South Carolina. This is a South Carolina thing. All right, so
West Virginia.
So it had a bit of a wobble to it. So astronomers, they measured
rotationally.
Yeah, exactly. A two for Liz today on that.
Hey.
So astronomers measured this wobble, and they confirmed using ground-based telescopes that a dormant black hole was hanging out nearby.
Dormant, so it's not actively feeding. It's just
It's just hanging out, messing up with some gravitation, gravity. So the astronomer Panuzzo. I'm not sure who's the PI, one of the astronomers out there. He said, this is a cool quote, "This is the kind of discovery you make once in your research life."
That's exciting. I'm so happy it for him. Is.
So the largest black hole in the galaxy, not supermassive, has been discovered recently. So that's the kind of times that you're living in.
And it's only 2,000 light years away?
Light years. Yep.
That's too close. But I mean, it's not too close. It's not too close, but also...
Hold on. When you say too close, though, that might freak out some
people. Right,
which
is why then I followed up with, it's not too close, right. But it seems too close, but it's not technically too close. We're fine.
Honestly, I would love a black hole like what Jupiter is at instead of Jupiter. Just orbiting? Let me rephrase that.
Hashtag too close.
Okay. But like the same... Can you have a so black hole is the mass of Jupiter, probably can't exist.
Okay, all right.
They would probably hockey radiation away.
No, you can't.
Oh, shit, we should discuss this.
All right, folks, we're going to discuss this and many. Yeah, we're going to discuss this and many other things in the Hangover. So, if I could sandwich this back, as I was taught in like sixth grade English, I'm going to sandwich it back and bring it back to the intro. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for this week of A Cosmos with Cosmos, High in the Sky. We'll be back in 2 weeks when we discuss the subject of Mike George. Do you know?
We're doing time.
We're going to talk about time.
So, just to let everybody caveat, there will be a short episode coming out about time. But we decided when we did the shot episode that we need a full episode about time. There will be an episode about time itself. Not space time. Just time.
And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, that is all the time we have for today.
Well done.
Thank you for joining us. Follow us on all the things. See you in the Hangover. Take care.